Hey everyone, welcome back to the 1 Million Bytes podcast, the technology podcast about all things tech, security, and more. I'm your host, Rich Infante. Today, we're going to talk about some of the new Pebble OS compatible smartwatches. For those who aren't familiar with Pebble, they launched as a Kickstarter back in 2012. They released a bunch of different versions of their device, including colored screen versions, some with round frames, as well as ones made out of metal and some made out of plastic. However, they started to run into some business troubles and Fitbit bought them. Later on, Google then bought Fitbit. Fast forwarding to today, Google open sourced the original Pebble OS, enabling teams to use that software to build new hardware. In episode one, I mentioned that Eric, Pebble's former CEO and his team, were working on some new smartwatches. They published some more info and you can now pre-order them. There's going to be two new watches, the Core 2 Duo and the Core Time 2. The Core 2 Duo is going to be a plastic frame watch. It'll be shipping this July. You can pre-order it today for $149. It'll have a black and white 1.26 inch screen, a plastic frame, like I mentioned, as well as a barometer sensor, a compass sensor, and an inertial sensor. It was available in both black and white colors. However, the black one sold out, so now white is the only available color for the frame. They posted an FAQ post recently about some of the parts they were using. There was some controversy over the buttons specifically. On the original Pebble 2, which this device is based on, the buttons kind of broke down over time once the oils from your skin and the UV rays hit them. It would kind of turn into a sticky residue. So that's still going to be the case with this device, is what it sounds like. They did reinforce them a little bit to increase the amount of times you can press them before they'll start to break, but the material issue is still there. So over time, regardless of whatever reinforcement, they might start to kind of break down a little bit. People did design 3D printer replacements for these, so that could be an option if that does happen down the road. I'll talk a little bit about the warranty for these devices at the end. The second device, the Core Time 2, is going to be shipping this December. You can pre-order it for $225 today, and it will have a CNC'd aluminum metal frame. The colors will be black, silver, and a yet-to-be-determined color, which you can pick later this year. It'll be a little bit larger than the Core 2 Duo, with a 1.5 inch touchscreen, which is a Pebble first. It'll also have a heart rate sensor. One thing I forgot to mention is this screen is color. It has 64 individual colors that it can display, and even though it sacrifices a little bit of contrast, it makes the watch faces really pop. At the moment, they're not sure if they're going to put a compass or barometer in it. The inclusion in the Core 2 Duo seemed like it was a favor to one of the collaborators on the project, so they might try and squeeze one in. This one is still in development, so that's, I guess, to be determined. Both devices, though, have the same core features. They both run Pebble OS, they both have a microphone and speaker, as well as a vibration motor, and they can run the existing apps and watch faces built for the Pebble ecosystem. I left the best part for last, though. They're supposed to have up to 30 days of battery life, a major improvement over the 7 that the original watches had. On top of all that, it'll be running the open source Pebble OS, which you can contribute to, hack on, and they said there's going to be some JTAG interfaces that you can use if you want to develop firmware for it. I'm leaning towards getting the silver color for my Core Time 2, mostly because I got the Pebble Time Steel in silver, and that one held up really well over time. Other than some scratches I got on the screen, it looks like the day I bought it. I also had the Pebble Steel, which I had gotten black originally, and the coating on that, as with a lot of the black-coated watches, eventually either the paint or the coating will start to wear off. I'm thinking I will probably go with silver, just for the longevity of my Core Time 2. One thing to keep in mind as you're deciding to pre-order or not is that these devices only have a pretty short 30-day warranty. This is similar to what a lot of other hacker and developer-focused projects will do when they're mostly focused on shipping new hardware and they don't have the resources to support things long-term. In the second half of this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the restrictions that Apple puts on third-party watch developers and give some thoughts on that as a whole. I read the team's blog post on the restrictions, and I have some personal experience in this. I've developed iOS apps for quite a long time at this point, so I've had experience with Apple rejecting apps for random reasons and all of the stuff that they're notorious for. On one hand, I do like that Apple defends the platform and takes security very seriously. However, some of the restrictions seems to either be security theater or just rather lack of priority, and I really think they should. in the blog post, they talk about notifications and how third-party watches can't really interface with them and send replies or take action on them. And of all the things, I think this is probably the thing that should be done. And that's a pretty easy thing to sandbox because you're not doing something like initiating random messaging. I can totally understand the perspective from Apple's side where you don't want a random Bluetooth device just sending out spam iMessages to all your contacts. So maybe the notification thing is a good compromise. The tide might be turning on the tech giants and their walled gardens, though. If I was Apple, I'd want to do this on my own terms, show the world what can be done securely with the user in mind. All the stuff I've detailed so far and more, what's in the blog post, the Apple Watch can do. And Apple really should form some sort of cross-platform team in charge of enabling secure access to these more rich APIs so the developers of third-party devices, and by extension their users, aren't stuck. Private software APIs are one thing, a separate device is another. It's isolated over Bluetooth. Apple owns all of the software on the iPhone, so I don't think that this is something that's crazy. Legislation and public pressure might help and might be the only solution, honestly. I know Apple is not the only culprit of having these issues where they lock down things and won't let you have access. I really like Apple hardware. I just wish they gave developers of third-party accessories access to some more of the rich APIs that they use internally. And by extension, the users also get access to that when they use their smartwatch. They can actually reply to messages and do things that, unless you have an Apple Watch, you just can't. The Apple Watch is almost 10 years old at this point. I'm really surprised that they haven't let developers build watch faces for that, for example. That was one of the main reasons I bought a Pebble, was so I could do that. They're missing a huge opportunity there. Anyway, over time, I'm hoping this opens up more, but we'll see. They promised to open up FaceTime originally, and that never happened, so high hopes, but you never know. Anyway, that's all for now. Stay tuned for the next episode.